All right, I think I'm live. I think we're recording.
Let's do it.
Boobies. I like boobies. Everyone likes boobies.
Boobs and butts and boobs and butts and boobs and butts and butts. Seven dwarves singing songs.
The florist was furious over the miscalculation of funds. That's a good one.
My florist is phenomenal, featuring fabulous perennial.
What the hell's perennial? I don't know. What else you got? You got something.
A tongue twister is a phrase that is designed to be difficult to articulate properly and can be used as a type of spoken or sung word game. Some tongue twisters produce results which are humorous or humorously vulgar when they are pronounced. Well, they are mispronounced, while others simply rely on confusion and mistakes of the speaker for their amusement value.
Wow. Not bad, T.S. Well done.
There once was a man from Nantucket.
Had a dick so long he could suck it. There was some more to that, but I don't remember how it goes. Welcome to the Dangerous Darren Show, everybody. I am Darren Pfeiffer. That is T.S. over there, and you are on the Adobe Radio Network. It is March 15th, 2016. It is our 24th episode. And right off the top, I'd like to thank the good folks at Roland Drums. That's their Twitter handle, at Roland underscore USA, for their use of the amazing V-drums that we kick off the show with every single week right here on the Dangerous Darren Show. Thanks for letting me rock those drums. I record with them. I play with them. I do sessions with them. I bring them out on tour with Goldfinger and shows with Sum 41. I've yet to take them out with punk rock karaoke because I don't think punk rock karaoke and electronic drums mix.
It's probably dangerous.
It's a little bit dangerous, but that's the name of the game. Also, Blue Microphones. Thanks to our good friends at Blue Microphones for the use of the Yeti Pros that we use every single show. TS is at Burn H Wood Burn. I'm at Darren99, and on Twitter, the show is at DangerousD underscore show. TS got a great show. Music from Epitaph Band Despacitos. They're going to be on. They're going to have a new record coming out, and they have a song called City on the Hill. Go to www.
Desaparecido.
Ooh. Oh, you got
Desaparecido.
That.
Desaparecido.
Desaparecido.
Wanted to make sure we had the
one more time.
Correct pronunciation.
Desaparecido.
Desaparecido. So go to www.desaparecidoband.com or hit them up on Twitter at DesaBand. That's their Twitter handle. And also, we're going to change it up a little bit guest-wise, and we're going to have Roy Hay, the founding member, guitar player, and just a great songwriter for the band Culture Club. Remember Culture Club?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, neither have I. But yeah, he's on the show. He's a good friend, and I've known him for a long time. He said to come on and talk music and talk Culture Club and talk golf, and he's a good cat. And we got a good show. We're going to take next week off because I'm going to be on the punk rock cruise, the Flogging Molly cruise with Punk Rock Karaoke. And Flogging Molly, obviously, and Rancid are going to be there, and Frank Turner. It's going to be bananas on the high seas for 4 days, drinking, smoking, swimming, playing punk rock music late at night. It's going to be bananas.
Sounds like a good time. I'm heading far from that. I'm going to be holed up in Area 52 out in the desert.
Ah, adjacent to
adjacent,
51.
Yes. Nice. Keeping an eye on what's going on. Getting a little weird in the desert.
You and your girl?
Yep. Spring break.
You gonna pitch a tent, or what are you gonna get, a little cabin? What are you doing?
We're getting a little cabin.
Yeah, okay.
A ute.
A ute.
A ute.
Oh, is that what it's called? A ute?
Yeah.
You're just gonna sit back and relax and take it easy? And
chill out. There's no phone service. There's no signal. There's no TVs.
Yeah. Just boners.
Just full erection.
Just alcohol, some of the green stuff, and some boners.
That's it.
That sounds like a lot of fun. But not with you. What was I going to say? TS, I'm not feeling so hot right now. I have what's probably a little bit of a bug.
Yeah, I haven't seen you for like a week.
Yeah, I've had a bug. I've been kicking this bug. I don't know how I got it. I don't know who gave it to me. And I'm going to fucking smack that person in the face when I see them.
Oh, no, was it?
I'm not going to name any names.
Oh, okay. It's not a spice?
No, I got it from somebody.
Okay.
I know when it happened.
Oh, man.
And it's going to be dealt with.
Oh, patient zero.
I'm going to call Walter White. We're going to get some of that acid in one of those big drums. We're going to put...
We're
going to put put this person in the big drum with the acid.
Just for getting you sick.
That's God, I'm really mad. But now I can't drink alcohol because my doctor's like, well, don't drink alcohol. So I can drink alcohol because I have right now some NyQuil that I've been taking to ease some of the cold and flu symptoms, which says here, headaches, fever, sore throat, minor aches and pains, sneezing, runny nose, and a cough. Although it's supposed to be taken at night because it puts you to sleep. Because there's a little alcohol in it. So this really does carry on our trend of not drinking.
Well, there you go.
And what do you got going?
I've got vodka and Red Bull.
There you go. This Cheers. Is NyQuil. And this is the first time we've ever... Is this the first time we've cheered with competing drinks?
I think so. Maybe we throw a shot of cough syrup in mine. And isn't that a...
Should I put a drop in there?
A flaming Homer?
Flaming Mo.
Flaming Mo.
You want a drop?
Yeah, put a drop in.
Actually, that might really enhance it.
Oh, wow.
That's more than a drop.
It's like a Shirley Temple.
Sorry, mix it up.
Cheers.
Mix it up. That looks nice, actually. Well, there's more vodka and there's more Red Bull, right?
Perfect.
Okay, so if it sucks, you can make a new one. There you go. Down the hatch. NyQuil. What am I, in corn?
Wow, that was really good.
Was it really, actually?
Yeah.
Oh, I try it, but you gotta, no, I can't.
Yeah, no. Don't touch my drink.
Yeah, well, you offered, weirdo. What else is going on in your life right now?
Oh, man. Okay.
I haven't seen you in a week.
Okay. So on Saturday, obviously, Sunday night, we did the spring forward, move the clock ahead.
Yes.
And this pisses me off.
So daylight savings time pisses you off.
Pisses me off. Every year, it fouls up everything. I'm not sure why we even do it. But here, I have a solution.
It's the minor fluctuations of the Earth's axis tilting as it goes around the sun.
I understand how the seasons work. But here's the thing. Why don't we just split the difference? On the next time, we fall back 30 minutes and we just keep it that way.
Yeah, that fucks everybody up.
What do you mean?
Because an hour is a nice round number. It's a nice round right there at the 12. Boom.
Yeah, but we just don't do it anymore. Just split it. 30 minutes.
Arizona doesn't recognize daylight savings time. And I was in Arizona this weekend playing with punk rock karaoke. This Viva Festival was epic. I'll tell you that in a second. But yeah, they don't recognize. They're like, fuck that shit.
See,
Arizona's always been like the rebel state. Remember when they didn't adhere to Martin Luther King Day?
Yeah. I was going to say they were onto something, but I do remember that. They were onto something regarding daylight savings time. They finally celebrate Martin Luther King Day, right?
They finally do, yeah. All 50 states have done that. But do you remember Public Enemy wrote a song, "By the Time I Get to Arizona"? Yeah. Dude, they were pissed about it. Yeah. A lot of people were. But yeah, maybe Arizona's onto something. Maybe we should look at Arizona and be like, okay, they're doing it right. We're doing it wrong. So you want to propose, instead of falling back a half an hour or an hour, just to fall back 30 minutes?
30 minutes, call it. We never even speak about it
again. And then the fall comes, do you fall back 30 minutes?
No, you just... You forget it.
Just leave it.
It's done. 30 minutes.
It's going to fuck up the solar clocks.
I don't understand.
The solar clocks, daylight savings time was meant to shave off those little seconds of time that you lose as the Earth travels around.
No, that's leap year.
No, that's different. That's a totally different thing.
I think
we're half an hour apart here. I will agree with you that it's fucking annoying.
True.
Especially when you spring forward. I might die, TS. You might have to do the Dangerous Darren show on your own from this point forward. I'm just giving you the heads up. Might happen. Might not.
Just roll you out of the chair and I'll keep going.
Yep. Just put like a mic to my face and there'll be drool coming out of my mouth.
Like a weekend at Bernie's.
So this weekend, what else did you do? Did you go to any shows? Did you have any drinks with your ladies? What'd you do?
Man, okay. I tried a new product this week.
A condom?
No. No, I throw all those out.
Yeah, okay. What'd you try?
Mary Jane Juice. It's a Mary Jane Juice company.
Is this for weed news or is this separate?
This is totally separate.
Okay.
It's totally separate. Right. And it was so powerful and potent that I watched NASCAR all start to finish.
The one in Phoenix?
Yes.
Yeah, I hit all that traffic coming home, by the way. Awesome. Fucking bullshit. And a bunch of accidents as well. People are like, after they see NASCAR, they're like, fuck yeah! Boogity, boogity,
boogity! You drove?
I drove.
Why?
It's only 5 hours.
It's like a 5-minute flight.
Yeah, but like we didn't want to pay for flights. We're cheap.
Oh, I see.
So we wanted to make some money. So whatever. It wasn't that bad, but the drive home was a little brutal. But I thought you liked NASCAR anyway.
I do.
Then why do you say it like, oh my God, I tried Mary Jane Juice and I actually watched NASCAR.
I watched it in one sitting, start to finish.
But you can normally watch NASCAR.
I record it and fast forward the commercials.
You fast forward the cars going in circles?
only during the restarts.
That's when you fast forward.
Yeah, fast forward the restarts too.
Oh, yeah, I might die.
Real time.
Well, how was Mary Jane Juice? What was it like? Did you feel something from it?
Yes, it's very potent. And it's extremely potent. And it's a natural organic juice. Lemonade.
Well, it's from a plant, so it's natural, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But the juice. The juice is organic as well.
Well, I got to ask, how did it taste?
It was delicious.
Do you think you can mix it with something like a vodka or a rum or
Absolutely. It could definitely be a mixer.
You should try it. Try it a couple things.
Maybe next week.
Well, who thought that vodka, Red Bull, and fucking NyQuil would work? And now it's working. Now I feel like I'm in Korn or something. Dude, the Korn guys, they used to fucking down this shit like crazy. We'd party with those guys.
NyQuil.
Yeah, they were like, you guys want some NyQuil? And they pull out NyQuil out of their jackets and just fucking go and Robitussin and just down the whole bottle.
That's crazy,
man. It gets you fucked up.
That's kind of gross.
Guess it's a separate high from if you like just do a whole bunch of booze. But it's a thing, yeah. People like get Robitussin and just slam it.
Robo-frying.
I guess that's what it's called.
I don't know, man.
I guess it's called getting slizzard.
Get your lean on.
Yeah. What's that, like a G6 getting slizzard?
Oh, man.
This show has just gone off the rails.
Already. I think it's the NyQuil.
It's got to be the NyQuil. I never get sick. And I got the cruise coming up, and I got to be healthy. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the doctor tomorrow. I'm going to get some antibiotics. I'm going to kick this shit out because I'm going to be on a boat for 4 days, and I don't want to like get anybody sick. Plus, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to be in the Bahamas.
You're going to the Bahamas, lady
friend with me. We're gonna go swimming and drinking and it's gonna be just bananas.
So you're bringing sand to the beach?
I'm bringing sand to the beach. Yes.
Interesting.
Yep.
Huh.
I gotta get Curtis some mic.
It's not really like you.
Others. I mean, this is gonna be a vacation for both of us.
I see.
We'll see how we're gonna see. It's like we'll see how it goes. You know, have some fun. She's a rad chick.
Do I know him?
Mike, my friend Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike Cunt.
All right.
Yeah. I was going to say, the festival in Phoenix I did was a Viva Festival, and check this shit out. Frank Turner played, and he was playing acoustically, right? And he got up there and was like singing all these songs about being, you know, a man and chopping down trees with bare hands and eating bark and being a man, and he had a beard and he was really flannel.
I'm a man.
And it was the really cool. Songs are great. He's a great scientist, slide guitar player, and all the people were getting really into it. And it was like a 30-something crowd. And we put up the punk rock karaoke set list on the merch booth, well lit. There was a sign on it. And we said, anybody want to come sign, you know, right there? And then by the time we were about ready to go on, like maybe an hour before we went on, maybe 45 minutes, there was one name on the list. And we have about 80 songs that you could pick from. There's one name. So we're like, oh, fuck. So I grabbed the microphone and I'm like, hey, everybody, punk rock karaoke are coming up next. And if you want to sing us a punk rock song and you think you had enough drinks and you're brave enough, the list is over there. It was like a cattle call. They just swarmed the table and everyone signed up. And we bring them up one by one, and it was a shit show of a punk rock show. When I say that in a good way. It wasn't like bad. It was people were jumping off the stage and throwing beers on the singers, and it was just like people were swinging off the rafters. It was just fucking nuts. And we looked at each other like, no more than half an hour ago, we had a guitar player guy with slide guitar dude fucking singing songs about the heartland. And then, you know, and then we go up there and start playing California Uber Alice, and then the place goes bananas. It was off the hook.
That is crazy, man. What kind of festival was this?
It was like this whole, the whole downtown like Phoenix gets taken over. It's called Viva, and Crystal Castles were there, and Frank Turner and us and some other bands, and it was just fucking super fun.
Awesome.
We didn't think it was going to be, we thought, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Like, one person? And then our friend Will, he signed up for four songs, so like, okay, we have five singers. What are we going to do? And then I made the announcement, and that's when all hell broke loose. You got to come to a punk rock karaoke show, TS. We're playing Viper Room in Los Angeles on April 9th and the 15th.
I'll come out. I'll sing a Misfit song.
Yeah, we do Bullet. We do Skulls.
We can actually rehearse this.
And we do Last Caress. So take your pick. We could do a lot more. We could do 20 Eyes. We could do Martian. We could do Halloween. We could so many more. But between those three, which one do you feel more confident? Astro Zombies. I'm sorry, we do Astro Zombies as well.
I'll sing Astro Zombies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Prime Directive Exterminate the whole fucking race. All right, that's your one. I'm going to mark you down.
All right, perfect.
You have to come.
All right.
Do you need to be drunk or are you going to be okay to do it sober?
I have to be functionally lubricated.
Okay.
Like a condom. Functionally lubricate my personality. I don't think I'm going to have any cough syrup, though. So.
Well, that might put you to sleep. Are we going to watch that Kings game? Because it looks like it's ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's coming on shortly, so we'll wait on that. But right now, let's get to the interview I did with Roy Hay. He is a guitar player, the songwriter, and one of the main founders of one of the most iconic 80s bands of all time. Well, of the 80s, I guess. And of all time, Culture Club. I mean, y'all remember Karma Chameleon and I'll Tumble For You and all the great songs that they had. It's a Miracle. Church of a Poison Mind. They had so many great songs in the 80s, and Roy Hay became friends with Goldfinger when we recorded our first couple records at Media Ventures, and he was partners with a guy named Jay Rifkin. He used to come to our sessions and pop in and say hi and offer some advice, and we just became tight, and I reconnected with him and talked about the reformation of Culture Club, and they're doing more shows, and they're playing all these tours and these 80s festivals, and they're having a blast, and they're writing new music. So here it is, my chat with Roy Hay, founding member of the 80s band The Culture Club, right here on the Dangerous Darren Show.
Roy, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, good, Darren. Very good to hear from you, mate.
Good. So,
it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've connected. What are you doing? Are you hitting golf balls? Are you writing songs? What are you doing today?
All of the above, not at the same time. Got some things going on with the band again after all these years, which is kind of fun. And doing some shows, did the iHeart Festival a couple of weekends ago down at the Forum, which was a big success. And we're in the process of hopefully getting out. We did a new album last year, which we haven't released yet. We're trying to get that out later this year and then go out on the road, take that out on the road and, you know, behave badly, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you do when you're on the road, like, when you're in a band. Tell me, Roy, with Culture Club and the reforming of the guys and getting everybody together, and did you have to, like, take the dust off the records and go, man, now I got to pick up my my instrument and kind of learn these songs all over again? Was that a process?
Well, it's riding a bike, isn't it? Once you get back on, mate, it all comes back, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's funny, every now and then I'll be in the middle of, like, ooh, shit, what's the next chord? And I'll just kind of bluff it and go, okay, there it is. And then I go, oh, that's right, it goes there. It was very funny. Actually, for the iHeart, right in the middle of the chorus of It's a Miracle, I forgot that there's a D major 7 in the chorus. And I'm like, I can't remember what next chord is. All right, I'm just going to play that F sharp and hope it works. Oh, it's close.
That's funny. The advantage that guitar players and bass players and keyboard players have over a drummer. We don't have that luxury to go, oh, am I supposed to stop here or am I supposed to keep going?
Well, I mean, you know what, you can try telling John Moss that, because he definitely plays through some stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I guess it's not that bad.
I think the most noticeable instrument for live is the bass. I think if the bass makes a mistake, everyone's heads turn. You know, because that's rooting the whole thing together.
Yeah,
you know?
And the drums.
I think drums you can kind of get through. Guitar, keyboards you can kind of, you know, get through. But if the bass goes to the wrong place, everyone turns around, you know?
Right, especially if it's high up there in the mix, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like with you guys, exactly. With Culture Club. Now, when you got into the rehearsals, Roy, what was that like? Were the songs just coming fast and furious and everything was like riding a bike, like you said?
Yeah, that was, I mean, what was really fun was about 3 years ago we started this process and started writing songs and fighting like we normally do. And we ended up working with this great producer, a guy called Youth, who's been around for years. He's actually the bass player for Killing Joke, actually. A really cool guy and just really laid back. And it's the first person we'd worked with in a long time that just let us be a band again. It was really cool. I mean, he just literally sent us out into the studio and said, right, start playing, guys, and I'll record it, you know. And it was really fun. It was very organic. And we had this studio in Spain, and we went there, and we just we all lived together. Well, I mean, it's quite a big risk, actually, because we hadn't really spent any time together for a while. And the first thing we did was, you know, go and move into a residential studio together and see if anything happened. And we actually cut about 16 tracks in 2 weeks and then came back to London and messed around with them. But it was creatively, it was fantastic. But the only stupid thing was George insisted, you know, being a celebrity, is I'm bringing a film crew down there, which sort of added a whole other dimension to it as well. So,
was it a situation where you guys didn't have any privacy?
Didn't have any what?
Any privacy.
Well, we kicked them out occasionally, but basically the idea was for them to capture the moment. So we tried to be open with them. Unfortunately, as always with these things, it never quite turns out how you think. You know, once, you know, we're kind of like, it's a bit of a soap opera culture club, you know, it really is. I mean, it's every day is sort of like a dysfunctional Thanksgiving dinner, you know. So there's always something going, there's always some strange dynamic going on between somebody and somebody else. So, and of course, the director picked up on that. So it's actually out. It's called, if you go on YouTube, it's called From Karma to Calamity, and it's a BBC Two music documentary. And unfortunately, I wrote to them afterwards and said, you know what? I said, you had a real opportunity to make something quality here, and you turned it into like some sort of, I don't know, tabloid journalism as usual, like they always do. But it was a shame because they negated the fact that after all this time, we actually put some really good music together, and I'm really proud of it. And I look forward to getting it out later this year. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I haven't seen you guys play in a very long time. I was a child of the 80s, so I remember all the videos and all the songs and all the records and everything.
Yeah, well, you bastards went and did a Duran Duran album instead of a Coast Guard, haven't you? You went off and did like Duran covers.
We could have done like a really, really fast version of Karma. We could have done a ska version of It's a Miracle. I mean, we could take
your didn't bit. You do, what did you do? You did Rio or something,
we did
right?
A really did fast that? Version of Rio, yeah.
2, 3, 4.
Yeah, really fast. It was, we actually wrote kind of, well, not wrote it, but kind of arranged it a little bit in the Media Ventures there, the studio we worked at in Santa Monica with Hans Zimmer. And I remember, Roy, the recording process very well because we just came up on our 20-year anniversary of that record being released to the world just last weekend. And it brought back a lot of memories, and you were in those memories. I remember you coming in to the studio and saying hi to Jay and being around. And we were just kind of awestruck that you were giving us really incredible compliments and props on the songs and how they were coming together. We just couldn't believe that Roy Hay was coming
into
our...
You guys had some vibe, man. You guys had a vibe going. It was really good to report. You know, Sean was, you know, talented guy, and you did your thing, man. It was very cool to watch.
Yeah,
you know, bands are special things, man. People forget, you know. It's funny when, you know, our agents out there trying to book, the first question every promoter asks is it the four original guys? It's the first question, you know. They all want to know, because people understand, you know, people in the business get it. There's a very special magic in bands, you know.
There
whatever
is.
It is, those four people together.
Yeah.
You know, just create something.
I definitely agree with you 100% on that. Tell me about the dynamic between George and John. How's that going right now?
Well, it's interesting. I think there's still something there from the old days that hangs over. And I think George finds it a little difficult. The difficult thing is not the fact they're in a relationship so much as the fact that John was always the driving force of the band. And I think that George sort of, In his mind, he forgets that. So, you know, he sort of negates John's role in a way, which is kind of annoying. And then John gets pissed off. You know, so there's always some, like I said, there's always some dynamic going on. You know,
well,
always some dynamic.
I mean, it seems to be in a workable position where they can get on stage and play a show and get into a studio and write some music.
Oh no, yeah, no, it is. Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, George is. You know, he's not the easiest guy to work with. You know, whatever that thing is, you know, whatever that thing is that makes that person want to get up front and behave like they do and be that megastar, that takes a special type of person that doesn't make them the most easiest person to get along with, you
right.
know?
Right, right.
They have to be, it's almost like they have to be a diva to do that.
Yeah,
they
I guess.
They have to be some, well, the diva genius in them.
I'm not going
to... And then that makes them...
somewhat difficult to deal with on a daily basis, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to throw anybody in my band under the bus, but I would definitely agree with that statement for sure, Roy. There has to be that dynamic for sure. Roy, do you ever look back on the Culture Club and think to yourself, what you guys were doing was so unique and so, I mean, I dare say it, niche. There was nobody like you at the time, and still now, no one sounds like Culture Club. They kind of own their own sound. That must be something that you, particularly as a songwriter, are very proud of.
Yes, very bizarre, because when we did get in the studio and started doing our thing again, it was like, God, it's the same thing. We don't necessarily set ourselves boundaries musically. We just come up with this bizarre shit that has so many influences in it, and then the whole thing sort of unites around George's lyrics and melodies, and we just kind of come up with this stuff. It's really bizarre, you know. You literally drop the tunes and you go, oh, that's Culture Club. And I don't know why, because we don't really have necessarily, we're not reggae, we're not funk, we're not out and out pop. We kind of take from everything, but in doing that, we created our own sounds. You're right, and we didn't. The great thing was that you don't think about these things; they just sort of happen organically, you know.
Right. Well, whatever you did with your mates back in the day, it turned out something really unique and special, and it touched a lot of people, as you know. And I'm really happy for your success.
Thank you.
And what about right now? Besides Culture Club, are you writing others' tunes? Are you still doing soundtrack work? Are you still in touch with Hans Zimmer?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I stay in touch with some of the guys over there. I haven't been doing it for a while. The last thing I did was that TV show, The Dead Zone, with Anthony Michael Hall, which ended, I think I ended that in about 2003. And, I'm putting my toes back into it. There's a couple of movie projects coming up that I might get involved in. That, what I want to do really is do the band, because the band's still the most fun. There's nothing quite like doing the band. And then sort of build around that and pick projects that I really want to do, you know? I mean, I do love composing. It's definitely in me, you know? But to be quite honest, I think I burned out a little bit on it with the TV stuff. And I think doing the odd select movie or something that really inspired me, or working with people I really enjoy working with, it's about that for me these days. I don't want to be playing that Hollywood game where I have to go to schmooze producers that wear funny little suits and think they're important anymore, you know?
I got an idea for you. Let's start a punk rock band. We'll play everything from the 60s and 70s only. It'll be great.
2, 3, 4.
See, we already have one song in the books. But listen, Roy, I've known you for a long time, and I'm glad you came on the show. Everyone is really excited about the Culture Club being back together and playing shows.
Yeah, man. Hollywood Bowl, August 26th, 27th.
Well, I'll be bugging you for tickets, so keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah. We'll sort you something out. I'm going to have a big party afterwards as well. Not for the band. I'm going to have one for me. So I'll let you know.
I'll mark it.
If you remember our old buddy Nico, he's going to be arranging it. So
great. Well, I'll mark it on my calendar for sure. And Alex will be there. You know, our mutual friend Alex will be there, so we'll have a lot of fun catching up with everybody.
Sure,
it'll be a lot of fun. And thanks for being on the show, Roy. And whenever you want to hit some golf balls and you need a second or a third or a fourth, hit me up.
There you go, man.
I'll embarrass myself. It'll be great.
All right. Take care, Darren.
Cheers.
There you go, folks. My chat with Roy Hay, founding member, songwriter for The Culture Club. We all remember The Culture Club, don't we, TS? Especially you. You're a big fan.
Love them.
You did. I know you when you were growing up, and I met you in Buffalo, and you were a big fan of the hardcore scene, the New York City hardcore scene, and punk rock. I could have sworn there was a time or two I saw you rocking a Culture Club shirt.
You know, it was for the ladies. You did it for the ladies. I'm pretty sure I had a Culture Club tape, though, in the car. And the Chevette.
You did. I know you did. And there's nothing wrong with that. They write great songs. They're great musicians. And they're playing Hollywood Bowl. We'll have to go see them play.
Oh, yeah. I'm down.
All the hits. And apparently he invited me to his parties. He has an after party. He says, the band has an after party backstage. And he said, that'll be pretty cool because I'm having my own private one. I go, well, then I'll have to come to that. He's like, oh, you'll have to come to that. So we're going to go to Roy Hay's after party.
After the Hollywood Bowl show. Mm-hmm. Amazing. All right.
It'll be like celebrities there and probably some designer drugs.
Awesome. I'm in.
Okay. Great.
Perfect. Recreate the 80s all
as
over
long
again.
As Olivia Wilde is there. I love her.
Who
Olivia Wilde is the... She's on that show, Final. She was one of the nurses on House. She's married to that Jason Sudeikis guy, whatever his name. I can't pronounce his last name. She's married to him. Fucking stunning brunette.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been watching Vinyl.
Yeah, I have. And she's absolutely ridiculously gorgeous. But maybe she'll be there.
Perfect.
You have your designer drugs. I'll have Olivia Wilde, and we'll both be happy. And we'll just be rocking. We'll be just be high off the Culture Club madness. Did you know, T.S.?
Dun, dun, dun.
This one's a good one, by the way. Did you know, T.S.?
Yes.
Graham crackers and Kellogg's cornflakes were invented so you would stop masturbating. And I know you masturbate a lot.
Really?
Their inventors both believed that eating bland foods would suppress sexual desires and unhealthy urges.
So the more graham crackers you eat, the less likely you are to rub one out.
And cornflakes.
And cornflakes.
Yeah. So if you have, you're eating bland food, you're just like, I could jerk off right now, but I'm just not feeling it.
I eat a lot of spicy food.
That's probably why you jack off a lot.
All the time.
What's the science behind that? Like, when they thought of that, what did they think? Like,
I think they put saltpeter in that sodium. It was the salt that would lower your libido.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know for sure. Allegedly.
Well, that's what they did. They invented that so people would stop masturbating.
I don't think it worked.
No, it did. It
didn't work.
No.
Well, speaking of masturbation, did you know that lions have a barbed penis with backward-facing spines? And that during mating, the pair become stuck and can only separate once the male's erection has subsided. And lions will mate up to 40 times in a 24-hour period.
Okay, let me see if I got this straight. So their penis has barbs on it.
Yes.
And it gets hard, and they're inside of a lioness.
Yes.
It's in there. It's stuck.
It's stuck in there.
It's stuck.
There's no separating.
So he's like boning the lioness, and she's into it, and he's into it, and then he comes.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, my God, that was great. And she's like, okay, can you pull out? He's like, nope.
Not yet.
And he's like, 10 minutes. Just to chill. So how you been? What's going on?
Can you make me a sandwich?
Well, I would if your dick wasn't stuck in me. You can't just go to the kitchen. Wow, that's fucking... And what was the other one? What was the last part of that one? Oh, 40 times.
40 times in 24-hour period.
40 nuts.
40.
In 24 hours. What is the lion's nut sack? Like, how much does he come?
They're pretty big. They're pretty big balls, so I don't know. Maybe he's just producing, like, mad.
Or maybe they don't come very much. Maybe it's just like a couple little drops. Like a little dribble.
But that's enough. Normal. That's enough to impregnate a lioness.
But 40 times, man, in 24 hours? I mean, he's got to take a nap in there somewhere.
I'm sure. There's a lot of napping.
Cat, right?
It's Africa. It's hot, too.
He's a cat.
And he's a cat, so there's a lot of napping. So that's like 80 naps.
Fuck, that's nuts. That's fucking bananas. I said bananas a lot in this show. Really, that's just out of control. 40 times, and his dick has like spikes on it.
Spikes facing the other way.
So when is he humping? Is he doing damage with these spikes?
I think they probably it can't feel good unless you're into that or a lion.
Yeah, she's probably not stoked on it.
Probably
the lioness
not.
Is probably like, this sucks.
Well, look at that picture. There's a lion and a lioness, and she looks very satisfied.
Well, she's dead. I mean, she's like, that's a corpse. He's stoked. He's like, yeah. I just fucking pounded that like
40
fucking,
times.
40 times.
I hit that shit 40 times.
Inside of her vagina looks like spaghetti.
Oh, my God.
But there's no way I'm going to have sex with her anymore because it's all chewed up in there. Like,
that's why you have your pride.
It looks like a, nope, no pun intended. It looks like a Sloppy Joe sandwich in there. It's like a roast beef sandwich on its side. But I'm a lion. I can do what I want.
I'm so hungry. I could eat at Arby's.
Speaking of cats, your friend's band, Cat AIDS.
AIDS Cat.
AIDS Cat. Sorry. AIDS Cat, we should probably throw a shout out to them and their South by Southwest experience.
They're doing a whole tour of several places in South by Southwest.
AIDS Cat.
AIDS Cat.
So
Tim from AIDS Cat. We interviewed him earlier this year
at Johnny's. Yeah, we were talking about what was he was talking about? Kesha, wasn't he?
Kesha, and he's a Swiftie.
Yep, a Swift. That's right. And he was, he is in a rock band called AIDS Cat, and they are playing South by Southwest. If you go on our Twitter feed at @DangerousD_show, you will see some information there about AIDS Cat and all their South by Southwest shows and adventures.
Today, at the Hotel Vegas.
Tuesday,
March 15th.
Yep.
4 o'clock. March 15th at the Dirty Dog Bar, 9 o'clock.
AIDS Cat at the Dirty Dog.
Shangri-La, 2 p.m. on the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
17th, he's getting around. Cheers Up Charlie, Batman, Austin, Cheers, Continental Club, The Rooftop on 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
AIDS Cat.
Check him out.
Yeah, they're the nice big thing. Yeah, they're gonna walk away from Austin with a record deal for sure.
Yeah.
Check them out, folks. They're good shit. What does your week look like, Tess?
Grinding it out, man.
No pun intended, huh?
Grinding
it out. Speaking of which, let's get to some weed news.
All right.
Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news.
I have to say, TS, our segues this week have been phenomenal. Like, we've had some pretty good segues. Like, coming out from the did you know about the lion and his penis into AIDS Cat. And in your week, you're just going to grind it out, and we go right from that into weed news.
Weed news.
Oh, yeah, that song, by the way, was written by Roy Hay. I take credit for writing a weed news song, but it's actually Roy Hay.
He's the real genius behind it.
I called him up one day and said, Roy, I'm struggling with the weed news theme. And he's like, oh, mate, just weed news, weed news, weed news. Just something like a Wayne's World thing. And
just
I go,
humming it along.
I go, what are the chords? And he showed me the chords. And I'm like, is it okay if I just record it? He's like, yeah, just take it, mate. Take it. It's all good. Yeah.
Didn't even give him a point. Half a point.
Well, I'm not selling it.
There's going to be a video.
What's going on?
We've got good things going on. You know, this is brought to us.
Lately, your weed news has been pretty positive.
Oh, yeah. This is good.
Okay.
This is huge. Comes to us from the Americans for Safe Access. Check them out, safeaccess.org. Earlier this week, the CARERS Act, the Compassionate Access Research Expansion and Respect States Act, was introduced by Senator Booker, Democrat, New Jersey, Paul, Republican, Kentucky, Gillibrand, Democrat, New York, and co-sponsored by Heller, Republican, Nevada, and Barbara Boxer, Democrat, California. Also introduced by House of Representatives Cohen, Democrat, Tennessee, and Young, Alaska. So basically what's happening is the CARES Act is the first comprehensive medical marijuana bill introduced in the United States Senate, and a companion has been since introduced to the House. The CARES Act makes clear that medical marijuana patients, physicians, caregivers, or the businesses that produce, process, test, and distribute this botanical medicine should not face federal arrest or prosecution in states where such conduct has been declared legal. This is good news.
It's great news.
This will reshape federal medical marijuana laws in 6 important ways. You want to hear about them?
I do.
All right. Number 1, end federal interference. That's huge. Number 2, reschedule marijuana. Number 3.
What does that mean, reschedule?
Reschedule will formally acknowledge that marijuana has an acceptable medical use.
Oh, reschedule. I got it. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Remove CBDs from the Controlled Substance Act. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
Enable access to banking services, also very important. So everybody is a full disclosure. Eliminate federal research barriers and ensure equality for military veterans.
Great.
All in there.
This is all good stuff.
This is all good. It's got to make its way through the political process, and maybe Obama can sign it by the end of the year. before he leaves.
I wouldn't see why he wouldn't, as long as it gets past all the necessary steps.
I think it's going to go through.
Yeah, Obama seems a pretty like easygoing guy. This is great stuff. Where'd you find this?
I get the alerts from the Americans from Safe Access.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
For Safe Access.
That's great.
Safeaccess.org.
It just seems like the good news just keeps coming and coming to us as far as marijuana and marijuana laws and marijuana legislations and all the different restrictions that are being lifted over here. And
I like to report on the positive because, some of these other people just infuriate me.
We've been living in a negative for a long time. Like people that are advocates for marijuana use and the medical use of CBTs and all the other purposes. They've been living in the dark for a long time, and like a long, long time since it was like, criminalized, and since it was Schedule A narcotic. You know, it's been living in the dark shadows, and it's been having this negative connotation about it. Well, now the sun is out, and it's finally, people are realizing that it's not that bad.
It's not. We can all come above ground and be happy.
Yeah, you can come above ground. You can listen to Culture Club. And you can smoke your weed.
Yeah.
What a beautiful world we live in.
It's a beautiful world.
I don't have any music news, TS.
You don't? Well, I've got a few things.
I got nothing right now because I'm sick.
You're sick.
I'm struggling.
It's okay.
To survive.
You know what? I got your back.
Yeah, you're carrying the show this week.
I got your back. All right. Do we have a song?
Oh yeah, the theme song for music news. Here it is.
Lots going on in the world of music. News on the world of music. Music news in your motherfucking face. Yeah.
There you go. The music news theme written by Kesha. Kesha came over to my house one day and without Dr. Luke, and we wrote that song.
Yeah, she let us use it.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. Love her to death.
Oh, man.
What
okay.
do you got, though, for
well,
music
you know,
news?
I got it's more of a music history lesson.
Okay, I'm down.
All right. Today, March 15th, Elvis Presley in 1955 signed a management contract with Colonel Tom Parker.
Yep.
And the Colonel previously managed, before getting this great act of Elvis Presley, he managed the Great Parker Pony Circus. One of the acts was a troupe of dancing chickens.
Wow.
So,
what are your qualifications, Colonel? Well, I've been managing this circus. What is that? Okay. What does that entail? Well, that entails, I got these chickens and they dance and I got to make sure that, they dance, on time. You're hired.
The chickens show up. Oh, you're hired.
Elvis, you're hired. You're perfect for me.
And, today's also is a huge day for musician birthdays. There's a lot of people today.
Who was born on this day?
All right. Sly Stone.
Nice.
Dee Snider. We're not gonna take it.
But ultimately, he did take it.
Where did he take it? Mark Hoppus.
Mark Hoppus' his birthday today, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mark McGrath.
Couple marks.
Will I Am.
Okay.
Brett Michaels.
Wow. Okay. All right.
There's more, but they're not really relevant.
Well, I don't think Brett Michaels was relevant, but you mentioned
probably
him.
Not.
I met him a couple times. He's actually really nice. I can't talk shit about Brett Michaels.
Anyway.
Also, today is a 1 month away from tax day. You have 1 month to get your taxes in order and get that shit taken care of. April 15th is the tax day, so you have 1 month from today to get your W-2s.
Don't panic.
Yeah, everything's going to be okay. There's HR blocks everywhere. Just go in and get it taken care of.
I think there's an app. You can do everything online.
Yeah, you can, really. You just take pictures of your W-2s and fill out a bunch of other things and you're done.
Yeah.
It's like cake. Don't fuck with the U.S. government.
That's right.
They will fucking fuck you with a huge lion penis.
Spiked, reverse spiked.
40 times.
Oh, man.
What would you rather have? Would you rather be fucked by a lion penis?
Okay.
In your butt?
Once. Right.
Just once.
Uh-huh.
Or have Mike Tyson come to your house every other day for a month and punch you in the face?
Oh, man. Okay, every
so
other
15
day.
Times a day. Or a month.
I have a spiked lion penis in my ass.
He's doing his thing.
He's going to town. After he's done, we have to cuddle until he loses his erection.
Yep.
Or
you have to pillow talk a lion.
Or every other day, I get punched in the face by Mike Tyson.
Yep. You open the door, boom, and he walks away. See you in 2 days.
Man, I don't know if my brain can take too much more damage, so I'm going to take that lion.
I would take the lion penis, too, because it'd be one horrible incident, and then it'd be over. I mean, then your ass is ruined. But then again, how big is a lion cock? I mean,
They're pretty big animals.
I don't know. Dude, pigs are gigantic. Some pigs are really big animals, and they got those little curly-cue cocks.
Uh-huh.
Look like French fries. And they're not that big. They're like not that much bigger than a pinky finger, like as far as the diameter and size. So maybe it's small.
We'll do more research on the size of animal penises.
And maybe the spikes aren't like metal spikes, like you're thinking like metal spikes that are digging into your rectal tissue. But maybe they're like fleshy spikes.
It's probably more like a barb.
It's a barb. Like it won't be hard, like a thistle on a plant.
Or like a porcupine.
It's still gonna hurt, but I would do the lion. Yeah, I don't know. I would want to deal with Mike Tyson every other day for a month.
So if you have like 15 concussions that month,
yeah, and he would just keep punching in the same spot. So like, no, he changed it up.
Can you change it up? Yeah, I've got two black eyes,
a busted lip. Your teeth are all gone. Your nose is all over the fucking place. Yeah, you have to do the lion cock.
Oh my God.
On that note, let's get to some music. The name of the band is TS. You have it ready? They're on Epitaph Records, and they have a Spanish name, which is Spanish for missing.
Desaparecido.
Desaparecito.
Desaparecido.
I love it. Desaparecitoband.com. Hit them up online. They have a great, great online presence. They're good guys, and they have a great... great presence, and
Desaparecido.
You're just going a little overboard with that thing, TS. I might have to take that away from you. Here you go, folks. Music from Desaparecidos. One more time.
Desaparecido.
Desaparecido. Not Cidos.
Desaparecido.
One more time.
Desaparecido.
Desaparecido, which is Spanish for missing, and this song is called City on the Hill. They are on Epitaph Records. Give them a look when you get a chance. Music on the Dangerous Darren Show.
In the servant girls, all the godless heathens had to leave to make a new
Music from Desaparecido on the Dangerous Darren Show here on the Adobe Radio Network. Hit him up on Twitter at Desa Band. D-E-S-A Band is their Twitter handle. And Desaparecidos have a new record out right now on Epitaph Records. That song was called City on the Hill. Epitaph Records, Brett Gurewitz and company, never disappoint. Brett's never. Got a good set of ears on him, that guy.
He does.
Good cat, too.
Been at it a long time.
Even though he did tell me that I was going to get a tryout for Bad Religion, and I never did.
Well,
words out of his mouth.
It's still not too late.
It's too late. They got a guy.
Who's playing?
They got the guy from You'll Know Us by the Trail of Dead. Oh. And I just saw they just played Lollapalooza. Bad Religion did. I saw their whole set.
In Chicago?
No, in South America.
Brazil.
In São Paulo.
Oh, sí.
And the drumming was meat and potatoes. I mean, the guy's a good drummer. Which is something I kind of wanted to incorporate if I were to get a shot in the band. I was going to say to them, I was going to go, look, Brooks Wackerman is ridiculously good. Like, phenomenal punk rock drummer. I can do that if you want me to do all the flashy double bass gnarly shit. But I was going to go, let's go back to the groove of what Bad Religion were all about. Just locking it down. Fills when need be, but like, just lock it down. And that's what this guy's doing. So my hat's off to him. So
they have a different feel?
Well, yeah, if you remember Brooks, when Brooks joined the band, he took the songs and started adding his own fills and stops and starts. And some of the songs became drum clinics. And that's because Brooks is insanely gifted as a drummer. And no diss on Brooks at all. I mean, he's a good friend and I love him to pieces, but the songs are a little fast.
Yeah, I thought he increased the tempo as well, but you know, got to keep those old guys in check, man. Keep them playing. Those songs were really fast. So,
but anyway, back to Brett Gurewitz. Great set of ears, great human being, good guy, and we're really stoked that him and his crew are throwing us music all the time for the Dangerous Darren Show. And in the world of sports, geez, what's going on? Baseball's ramping up the spring training. For the Dodgers is looking good. They're winning some games. They're playing. I think they're well above 500 on the Grapefruit scoreboard there as far as their record. The Kings are playing some on-again, off-again hockey. They played last night in Chicago. Then they travel today. I think they're going to Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken, for Tuesday tonight. They're on again, off again, and they're battling a Sharks team and a Ducks team that are getting red hot. Yes, like, do you remember like a month and a half ago that the Kings had like a 14-point lead in the division?
Yeah, and
that's gone.
It's gone.
It's because Getzlaff got hot, Corey Perry got hot on the Sharks. You know, Thornton and Burns and Pavelski and Marlowe got hot. Martin Jones, our backup goaltender, is over there. He's getting hot now. The Kings better wake up. We need Gabbert to come back, and we need to start playing some playoff hockey.
Bless you.
Thank you. Yeah, we're gonna be okay. We're gonna survive. We're gonna make the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. But I want home ice in that first round, and I don't want to face the Ducks. I don't mind facing the Sharks. Or
are we tied with Anaheim right now?
No, I think we have a 3-point lead on.
Three point lead.
Yeah. But we're, you know, we got to start winning some games. Basketball, I don't know what's going on. Clippers losing all the time to, they lost to Cleveland recently. The Lakers lost to the Knicks, which is good. They lost on a last second 3-point shot by Calderon at Staples the other day. Calderon comes in, he had like a second to shoot, literally a second. Throws up this dream 3-point shot. The buzzer goes and it sinks and they win 90-87. I mean, oh, God.
Can't get a break.
But, dude, I'm glad the Lakers are losing. I'll tell you why. Because Kobe's leaving next year, and then if they want to maintain that first three draft picks, the bottom three draft picks. They're down there with Philadelphia. Who else is down there? Orlando, maybe? I don't know. But, anyway, they should maintain the bottom three. So they should get a good pick and then go back to being the Lakers that we all know and love. Kobe-less. Cheers.
Cheers.
One more NyQuil. I got a little bit left in this cup. So, yes, next week we are not going to be here. You are going to be in the desert being eaten by coyotes.
Getting weird.
Getting weird with the peyote.
Dancing with some Joshua trees.
Dancing with the wolves. And I am going to be on a boat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean coming home from the Bahamas for that Flogging Molly's Salty Dog Cruise. Look it up online. It's amazing. It's going to be a blast. Punk Rock Karaoke playing three shows on the boat all at night. And the guys tell me it's a complete madness shit show. Almost every song is taken. So we're going to play like 80 songs. And
it's like 2 hours.
Yeah. And it's all guys in bands. It's all like the guys from Rancid and Flogging Molly and the guys from this band, that band, this band, and a few punters that get up.
To get up and have the balls and have had enough cocktails.
Yeah. It's going to be bananas. I can't wait. I think I've said bananas 6 times in this podcast. I'm going to go back and listen, but I think it's at least 5. There's at least 5 bananas in there.
We had an over under.
This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. TS, one more time. Cheers.
Cheers
NyQuil.
To you.
And you have Red Bull, and you're at the bottom of the barrel there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully I'll feel better soon. I'm going to go to the doctor tomorrow. We'd like to thank Roy Hay for being on the show from Culture Club. Thank you, my friend. I will see you at the Hollywood Bowl show this summer. That's going to be a lot of fun. Also, my friends... and your friends in the Epitaph band, Despacito. Look them up online at despacitoband.com or on Twitter at Desa, D-E-S-A, band. That's their Twitter handle. TS is at Burn, H-Wood Burn. I am at Darren99. Thanks to our good friends at Roland Drums and our good friends at Blue Microphones. And hit us up on Twitter. The show is at DangerousD_show on Twitter, and also thanks to the good folks at Adobe Radio. We'll see you in 2 weeks, TS. Hey, let's tap microphones.
All I blow is loud.
Good night!